Create Art Podcast. Interview. Art and Activism with Elizabeth Mikadowitz. Hello, friends. This is Timothy Kim O'Brien, your head instigator for Create Art Podcast, where I bring my 30-plus years of experience in the arts and education worlds to help you tame that inner critic and create more than you consume. Today, I have a special for you here. We are not doing too many interviews in 2023, but I think, you know, this interview is going to be one that is going to help you out tremendously. I'm speaking with Elizabeth Mikadowitz here today, and well, before I do that, I just want to do a special shout out for Alex Sanfilippo of Podmatch and PodPros. I belong to Podmatch, and that helps me find guests for my show, and that helps guests find me for the show. And that's what happened here. Elizabeth reached out to me, and I read her bio and her story, listened to a few podcast episodes, and I was amazed at what transpired between that first initial contact and this interview. So I definitely want you to take a lot of notes during this interview about what she has to teach all of us. So in her 20s, she barely survived a very violent relationship in where the partner she was with assaulted her with a wooden dowel, and you could see her skull when it happened. Now, the doctors gave her opioids, and when she refused, they threatened her with child protective services because she was pregnant and refusing medical advice. She was told she was on a small dose, you know, and it was too small a dose to get addicted. Eventually, she went to the domestic violence shelter and was turned away. They said her injury was so severe, and it put other women in danger. She survived because drug dealers helped her, or took advantage, depending on how you looked at it. And she eventually went to federal prison for a nonviolent drug charge. She endured and witnessed so much institutional abuse, corruption, systemic racism, and cruelty that sometimes she still wakes up screaming. But she turned it all around, launched an environmentally friendly feminine brand that's being sold in stores and also comes in plus sizes. She's gotten bills put on the table and passed for the good of the people, not corporations and institutions. And she's letting the world know what America, land of the free, is doing to its incarcerated population, which is the highest rate in the world. She's also exposing other systemic abuse and corruption that affects Americans every day. She is sharing her healing journey and what she has learned about her own trauma and mental health. So without further ado, this is my interview with Elizabeth Mikadowitz. Elizabeth, how are you doing today?
I'm good. It's still pretty hot here, but I got another cooling unit, so I'm much happier than I was the last week.
Understood. Well, Elizabeth, in my intro here, I talked about your incredible backstory and your experience, but the first question that comes to my mind that I want to ask you is, how do you overcome imposter syndrome? It's something that we've talked about on this show many times, but for our artists out there that are listening to us here, how do you overcome that imposter syndrome?
Well, you know, I really had to change my thinking, and it wasn't really so much in art, but like, for instance, when I first started working with, you know, Maine state representatives, I was like, why would they listen to me? I'm just, you know, a felon, a recovering addict, you know, been pretty much, you know, pariahed by, you know, society to a certain extent. And, you know, why would they ever listen to me? And then I changed my thinking to, well, why wouldn't they listen to me? I'm their failed statistic. I've seen, you know, what the problem is up close, and, you know, they'd be really dumb not to listen to me.
Yep. Well, that makes sense. And then, you know, there would have, it wouldn't have been a chance that where we could have connected, and, you know,
right.
Who knows what could have happened if you had given into that imposter syndrome. So no, that's fantastic. What's the biggest lesson that you've learned since you've started your business that you wish you knew when you initially started it?
I wish I had found vocational rehab a lot sooner, because they really helped me kind of bring it up to the next level, and they helped me get a grant. They helped me write a business plan. I didn't know anything about that. And I really recommend vocational rehab. They're in all 50 states. You know, if you have a disability or, you know, have struggled some way in life, they will help you, you know, with whether you want to go to college, whether you want to, you know, get a job or go to school, build a business. Like, they will walk you through everything. And, you know, I think I really would have made a lot more headway if I had known about them much sooner.
Sure, sure. And like you said, it's in all 50 states. So we don't, as artists, we don't have an excuse not to at least look into it. Because I know I'm guilty of it too. Sometimes I don't look into stuff. But when we did our pre-interview, I looked into for the Commonwealth of Virginia. I have to call it a Commonwealth because it's not a state. So, but yeah, everybody out there that's listening, check your vocational rehabilitation for your state, because that is a pathway to be where Elizabeth is right now. So for you, because you've been on a number of podcasts and I've heard your message, for you, what comes first, the arts or the message?
Well, I think the art will always come first. I mean, I was painting murals as a federal inmate, and, you know, at my lowest point, you know, that's how I was trying to keep my sanity. And so I think, you know, I'm always, you know, I'm just that artsy person. I'm always going to have a song in my head. I'm always, you know, going to be kind of off in my own little world. And so, yeah, I don't know. It depends on which day I wake up, you know, honestly, because someday I'm just like right ready to go and, you know, start a revolution. And, you know, especially with this whole Titanic thing. Oh my God, I'm so mad we paid for all this. But meanwhile, they let 750 migrants drown to save five sociopathic billionaires who made $3.4 million off of every COVID death in this country. And we get to pay for, you know, this little excursion, you know, being brought back. And, you know, so I guess it really depends, because, you know, some days I'm more focused. I'm either all focused on that or like all focused on the art. So
Why couldn't they gone up with Elon Musk into the atmosphere and,
right,
and then we wouldn't have to deal with it.
Right. Yeah. They could send all the billionaires to the bottom of the ocean, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, we went from 3 empty properties at the beginning of the pandemic to 29 empty properties for every homeless man, woman, and child in America. All for their profit. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is sociopathic, what is happening.
Absolutely it is. Absolutely it is. Kind of steering from a little bit on of the political side, I did notice, and you have talked about it in the past, about being environmentally friendly with your fashion design and with the products that you put out there. Can you tell me a little bit about that and what's the difficulty with it and why that's important to you?
Well, I mean, I've always, you know, as a kid, I remember writing this report about the rainforest and then being like so upset about what was happening to it. So I've always, you know, been one for the environment and really empathetic, you know, connected with animals. And so when I found this company, La Galerista, they turned your art into, you know, an environmentally friendly brand. I'm like, that's perfect for me. That totally aligns with what I want to be about and what I'm trying to do. And it, like, about a year into it, they announced that they were going to do plus sizes as well. And, you know, I really want to be inclusive to everybody. You know, I mean, and especially as women, you know, we're pretty much told from birth that we're only as valuable as we are skinny and pretty and our ability to make babies. And, you know, that shouldn't happen, you know. And, you know, a lot of these brands, like, I remember going shopping with my friends and they, you know, you try on your size and certain brands will size their stuff really, really small. And I would just watch my friends, you know, have body dysmorphia issues because these brands want to size their clothes too small. And it really, you know, can affect people's mental health. I've never struggled with an eating disorder, but I've struggled other ways with mental health. So I can only imagine what, you know, that's like. And, you know, when I ordered it, you know, all the clothes were actually a little bit big. And I was so happy about that because I'm like, this stuff is sized properly. This isn't going to make anybody feel bad. It looks great on all different body types. And, you know, this is what I want to, this is the product I want to put out there. And, you know, that feels like good and wholesome to me. And the fact that everything is made, you know, green, no process of, you know, the production of these clothes harms the environment at all. And yeah, I was really happy about that.
What? No, that's great to hear because myself, I have twin daughters that I'm teaching them to be environmentally conscious. I guess besides that, you know, with, you know, body dysmorphia, with, you know, what society expects of women and all that, I'm teaching them, you know, you're worth more than if you can make a baby or if you're pretty or this, that, or the other thing. You know, it's your individual gifts that you have that you can share with the world. That determines, that's a better determination of your worth.
Yeah. And your kindness and compassion. Like, I mean, it's amazing how fast a pretty face turns ugly once you realize what an awful person they are.
Exactly. Exactly. And no amount of makeup is going to clean that up. It's just not true.
You can't fix ugly.
You can't fix ugly. And that's why this is a audio only podcast. Nobody can see my ugly face. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Sticking with fashion, because I got to tell you, you're the first artist I've had on here that deals with fashion. So I'm going to show my ignorance here because I don't know what skills somebody would need to be a fashion designer. So what's some kind of basic things that we need to know?
Basically, I just paint the design and then I go on the website and I pick out, you know, 10 different items that I want the design on. And I don't make the clothes. I don't design like the shape of the clothes or anything. I just design, you know, the picture on the clothes. Yeah, it's really cool because you never know what it's going to look like. And whatever I imagine it's going to look like, it never looks like that, but I always really like it. And it's always like a really nice surprise for me when, you know, a couple of days later, like I get the templates back. And
It must be, you got to have a good eye, I would think, for when you're taking that image and putting it, you know, cropping it and putting it onto the clothes and to make sure that it looks correctly, because I've done t-shirts in the past that have been, we'll say they're collector's items. As an artist, what tasks do you absolutely hate on the business side that you have to do?
I hate going around and talking to stores, like individually, to like see if they want to carry my brand. That's always really exhausting. And I'm usually just like going around with like a bag of samples. And like, I always just feel awkward. Well, I have really bad like anxiety and PTSD anyway. So like going out is a struggle for me. And I think it has more to do with that. But yeah, also the whole, you know, constantly posting on social media about that, I'm really bad at that. Like I never post about my business, like unless if it's like a podcast I'm doing, like I'm really not, you know, consistent with that. So
Sounds like you need to hire a VA, you know, one of those virtual assistants. And there we go. So folks, if you're looking to be a VA for, we'll have the links in the show notes there for you. With your art, how does that assist with your activism?
Well, I think, you know, art's one of those amazing things that, you know, it can make your message immortal. I mean, look at Van Gogh and look at, you know, all these great artists who, you know, their art is telling stories, you know, about political nightmares, you know, back then, and we're still, you know, in awe of it. So yeah, like when the George Floyd thing happened, I painted a piece and I put every group in this country that had been oppressed by white men. Yep. And I, you know, I've done a couple other, you know, prison pieces and stuff like that. I've really been working on finishing my book. So I haven't really painted that much recently. So I'm like trying to get that done as quickly as possible. Editing process is like the hardest part, I guess. But
we've got some ESP going on here, because that was going to be my next question. How's that book coming along? You know, so I'm tapping you on the shoulder for that. Yeah. So, but you have a book coming out. So what's the book going to be about?
It's about my journey through federal prison and kind of how, you know, my life, it's not about my crime, because you're not allowed to write about that, but it's kind of just how my life fell apart and, you know, with the domestic violence and the brain injury but it really focuses on, you know, what I witnessed and what I went through in prison. And it's really exposing, you know, this dystopian nightmare we're living in. Mm-hmm. I mean, the things that happen to women in this country at the hands of correctional officers in these institutions, I mean, it's horrifying. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Scotland, one of them, just refused to extradite somebody back to Texas because they said that the Texas prisons are, you know, a crime against humanity. And they are. They absolutely are. And so it really goes into detail about that. So trigger warning for everybody. It'll make you angry. And I also like point out where all the money's going. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's important, because before we even started this interview, we were talking a little bit about where all the money is going for, you know, these folks that are down at the Titanic, and you know, that money could be spent elsewhere.
Yeah, like the 750 migrants that were left to drown, that were begging for help for 8 hours, with 100 children mm-hmm. below deck, and they couldn't get out. But we spent all of like 10 different countries' resources to go after 5 sociopaths that made $3.4 million per COVID death. Yeah. I mean, there's a reason they all went from being millionaires to billionaires, while the rest of us, you know, lost everything.
Yeah, and the rest of us are having a hard time, you know, putting food on the table and clothes on our backs.
Yeah,
that is very. It can be disheartening, but the thing of it is, though, is that we have people like yourself out there that are using that for a good purpose. They're taking a bad thing and they're trying to. You're trying to find the silver lining and trying to promote things that most people don't even think about. Kudos to you on that. Absolutely.
Yeah, honestly, on like a more selfish note, I feel like if I can like stop it from happening to other people, it like won't bother me as much that it happened to me. So yeah, I don't.
No, I feel you on that. I mean, I'm a father of twins. I don't want them to go through the life that I went through. I've been there, bought the t-shirt. They don't need to do that. So,
right.
So back to the art. When do you know a painting or an image is ready for public consumption? You know, when enough distance has happened, or, you know, if you can't get the image out of your head, when do you know that a piece is done?
That's a good question that I've never actually thought about. I think just when I feel like there's nothing more I can do to it.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Some people know, you know, some artists know it's done. I can't do anything more to it. Others, they never finish it and they never gets out into the public. And that's a shame. So at least you know when it's done and you get it out there. And that's fantastic. Any advice that you'd like to give other artists that are just starting out? Because there's a number of listeners here at Create Art Podcast that are just starting out. So can you give us like one or two things that people should think about when they're considering, you know, kind of flipping the script and going into business doing art?
Don't expect to make money right away. Yeah, do it because you love it, not because like you're expecting to get like a windfall of money, because you will be very disappointed. I mean, I don't know. A lot of artists are doing that whole NFT thing, and I really need to look into it, because, you know, people are like, oh, you can make so much money. And I'm like, I don't even know what that is. But mm-hmm. Yeah.
So besides the book coming out, which, you know, let us know when that comes out. We will definitely pump it out here, because I mean, You can see behind me, I've got a ton of books right behind me here. Besides that, what's the next big project coming out for you?
There's a couple places down here that want me to paint murals for their business. And possibly this is, I got referred to paint a mural in the Bronx. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's going to happen or not, but that I'd really like to do that mural. It's for a good cause and, you know, a good community. And it's about like bringing the community together and healing. So I would absolutely love to be a part of, you know, a project like that.
What's the best website for folks to find your work at?
Well, I usually post my work on my Instagram. I do more of the political stuff on TikTok, but my handles are the same. It's EPM_art_1111. I'm also on Twitter. I like will go months without going on Twitter though, because it's just so toxic. And I only ever end up, you know, arguing with, you know, incels and other people like that on there. So I try to avoid it. But also my portal website, I don't have a website with everything on, like all of my stuff on it together yet. So my clothing website is legalleries.com/en/Elizabeth.Makatowicz. And you have to put my name and all that stuff at the end, because there are other artists that work with Legalleries and have their own brands as well. So you have to put my name at the end of it.
Perfect. And we'll make sure that we have that correct in the show notes. So that way folks can just do the old fashioned copy, paste, throw it in a web browser. Everybody will be happy. Elizabeth, thank you so much for talking with me here today and for talking with our audience. And can't wait for that book to come out. So give me a holler when that book comes out. Continued success to you. So thank you so very much.
Thank you.
All right. So that was a very inspiring story and experience that we heard from Elizabeth. And you know, I hope you got something out of that. If you did, definitely go ahead and visit her websites. I have them all listed there for you in the show notes. I also have listed in there a website from the Department of Education for the vocational rehab centers for all across the United States. I think it's really important that we utilize our resources. And otherwise, yeah, they're going to go out of business. So utilize those resources for yourself and allow that to help you in your art, as Elizabeth did. Now, again, if you've got anything out of this, I'd ask you to go ahead and share it with a friend that needs to hear this episode. You can always reach out to me if you'd like to share your story. Timothy@createartpodcast.com is the place to go for that. And I'd really like to, you know, present you and your work to everyone that listens to this podcast. Now, I do have one ask of you, and that is to let me know what's going to make this a 5-star podcast. Basically, I want this podcast to be a resource for you in what, wherever you're at in your artistic journey. So reach out to me, Timothy@createartpodcast.com. So as I always like to close out the show, I want to thank you for listening. Go ahead and tame that inner critic. Create more than you consume. Go out there and create some art for somebody you love, yourself. I'll talk to you next time.